The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
How weird and wrong has this day felt so far?
Why is that?
Because it's the day before Thanksgiving and we should be eating deep fried turkey right now.
I have missed that deep fried turkey and those delicious JoJo's.
I know. Everybody has been. The whole building is depressed.
Usually this is one of our favorite days of the year.
And I know
the building smells amazing.
I know it. And I think that everybody is upset at me. But we had a scheduling conflict this year that we weren't able to do the deep fried turkeys, but we're going to bring them back next year.
Good.
I was texting with John last night.
Good.
And
yeah, it's not the same.
I know.
Plus, Thanksgiving's earlier this year.
This is the first time in about 20 years or so that we haven't done this the day before Thanksgiving. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
Well, it started because one day, this is back when we used to take calls. Somebody told me how great deep fried turkey was.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, that just sounds disgusting. I bet it's greasy and gross and yucky. And that's when John Lovett called in and he said, I'll come deep fry one for you this year. So we did one, and that turned into a big fundraiser and listener donations and raised lots of money. And so we'll do it again next year.
Good.
Yeah, we just couldn't put it together this year. But anyway. One other thing before I get into the big show. As you know, I don't do and I can't do birthday shout-outs because everybody would have one every second of every day, and you just can't do that when you do a show. But I'm going to make an exception today. Given that, right now, this started 9 minutes ago at the Tacoma Veterans Community Living Center. They just started the 100th birthday celebration for Mr. Leslie Murray. And so 100 years old, he's living down there at the Tacoma Veterans Community Living Center. They wanted to let us know that their celebration was starting at noon.
Happy birthday, Leslie.
Happy birthday. So he was born. Think about this. He was born right as World War I was ending. Served in World War II and has lived since World War II another 73 years since then, since that ended. How insane is that?
And I bet he has amazing stories to share.
Yeah. So happy birthday to Mr. Murray, Mr. Leslie Murray at the Tacoma Veterans Community Living Center with his 100th birthday celebration going on right now. And on a Thanksgiving holiday, we just had Veterans Day. A week or two ago, but a good reminder that among our many, many, many blessings to be thankful for are all the men and women who have served and continue to serve our country. So
and
happy
we will
birthday,
never
sir.
Forget.
No, never forget. Okay, with all of that as mere prelude, let's get to our big lead.
The big lead, top story.
I have a very serious question for the LGBTQ community around here and elsewhere. Do you ever get sick and tired of groups that couldn't care less about you using you for their thuggish means? Because there is a story that is and has been unfolding for several months now up on Capitol Hill, that is, the deeper I dove into this, and I did a ton of research on this, because knowing I was going to talk about it, I want to first of all give credit to the CapitolHillSeattle.com, the Capitol Hill blog, because they've been covering this extensively for a long time, and they deserve a lot of the credit for this story. But here's what's going on. And they're not the ones accusing the LGBTQ community of being used. I am. I want to make sure that I don't attach my opinion to the website that's covering the story. But the more I look at this, the more I understand that groups like LGBTQ groups, they just get used by groups like organized labor. So let me explain what's going on here on Capitol Hill. There is a big, huge supermarket that has been planned. I've been hearing about it for a couple of years now, planning to go in on Capitol Hill, called New Seasons. New Seasons, when they went into Ballard in May, they had all kinds of protesters because they were not, are not a union shop. And that makes labor unions resort to tactics, including we'll use anybody. We'll use anybody to try to extort demand to get our way. And so they presented a list of demands. These, what they said were their, these community groups gave a list of demands to New Seasons Supermarket before they would tell them, we won't protest you. Otherwise, social media, in person, we are going to make your lives a living hell. And let me tell you a little bit about this grocery chain. Based in Portland, started by a few families about 18, 19 years ago, 1999, and has grown. And they talk about their progressive values, and they say all the right things on their side, too. So these community groups up on Capitol Hill and far beyond, because this is being driven by labor unions that want to force the supermarket to become a union shop. And so they gave the supermarket a list of demands, and they said if the demands are met, the campaign against the company would stop. And so among the demands, of course, first and foremost, is that they have to become a union shop, because that's what this is all about. That's really what's at the heart of all of this. They have to become a union shop, and they also have to, let's see, sign a neutrality agreement to let workers unionize, disclose workforce demographics, let low-income customers use fresh bucks to buy produce. They must stock affordable staple foods, and they must donate some of their local profits to affordable housing projects and community land trusts. Okay, everything is a smokescreen except the unionization. Everything else is stuff that they got to say to make it sound like they actually care about people. But this is all about unionization. So what they've been saying about this grocery store, and it's gay groups as well as labor that have co-authored pieces, and they say that this grocery store, New Seasons, is anti-LGBTQ. And what do they base that on? Well, this is where it just got fascinating for me to dive into this. You got to follow along here, but I want you to understand just how thuggish things are in our progressive city. There is a charitable foundation based in Vancouver, Washington, called the Murdoch Trust. And the Murdoch Trust is almost $1 billion. It's been around for nearly 50 years, donating money to Seattle Pacific University, Seattle U, Reed College. They say in their mission statement that their dedication is to serve individuals, families, and communities across the Pacific Northwest by providing grants and enrichment programs to organizations that strengthen the region's educational, social, spiritual, and cultural base. So it sounds like this trust has some spiritual Christian foundations. And so what the thugs who are trying to force this grocery store to unionize, what they have cited as the grocery store being anti-LGBTQ, they said this Murdoch Trust, oh, and the Murdoch Trust owns 1.5% of this grocery store. In other words, New Seasons Supermarket is one of many holdings, one of many, you know, positions When you have a charitable trust, you have over $1 billion. You invest your assets, and then you take the money that throws off, and you provide grants all around. So this charitable trust owns a 1.5% stake in this supermarket, which is nothing. And within this charitable trust, which has given money, like I said, Seattle Pacific to Seattle U, I wrote down some of the other. They've donated to the Northwest Association of Blind Athletes, a program that works with autistic kids and gets them on horseback. And it's had a marvelous record of just opening up the world for kids who are on the spectrum. So that's the kind of stuff this charitable trust does. And they also have given to a couple of other groups like Alliance Defending Freedom. I've had those folks on my show a lot. When government tries to run roughshod over businesses that have some Christian principles, the Alliance Defending Freedom will often provide pro bono legal help. This charitable trust has worked with the Alliance Defending Freedom. Well, one of the groups the Alliance Defending Freedom has helped out is that Colorado cake story, where you know a court said that the government way overstepped its bounds in trying to destroy a business that didn't want to bake a cake for a ceremony that fundamentally went against their religious beliefs. Now, very similar to what's going on in Tri-Cities with Arlene's Flowers. And so this, I know this sounds crazy, but I want you to understand, and nobody else goes into stories in our local media with the level of detail here that we have the option to do. So a charitable foundation that has given hundreds of millions of dollars over the last 45 years, helped out colleges and universities and all kinds of wonderful causes, and among their giving is the Alliance Defending Freedom. And then they cited some other groups that they've given money to, this charitable trust. Okay, because that trust owns 1.5% of the supermarket, there are stories, and there was one that ran a few months ago in the Capitol Hill blog. New Seasons Market is pinkwashing over anti-LGBTQ owner. Okay, does that maybe exaggerate now that you know all the facts? So a charitable trust that has a 1.5% stake in the supermarket, because of that, they are calling the supermarket anti-LGBTQ. Is the supermarket anti-LGBTQ? No. They got a long track record. Again, they talked about their progressive values. They talked about the awards they've gotten for their diversity, including in the LGBTQ community. But a labor union that wants to thuggishly create a perception that is at best a gross exaggeration, but they want to use that as leverage. Hey, you give in to us, you let everybody unionize at your store, and we'll drop the anti-LGBTQ accusation against you. And so you have the gay, lesbian, trans community just being used, and willingly so. I mean, there's another piece at the Capitol Hill blog. What was this? The Gender Justice League co-authored it along with the political director of Teamsters 117. That was the headline I just read to you. Is that an honest debate? Is that reflective of a city that says it values diversity and progressivity and welcoming? No. It is, again, the labor left using thuggish tactics to try to force a private business to cave in with, I mean, I believe it's a false accusation, but yes, a group that makes, you know, conservative, religious-based, charitable giving, they have a 1.5% stake in this grocery store. So they're trying to label the grocery store anti-LGBTQ. I mean, it's just thuggish stuff. But that's how things are played out in our city. You find any group that identifies as marginalized, you wrap them into your thuggish ways, and it's just using people. Just absolutely using people. And the fact that these groups are willing to be used is sad. It's incredibly sad. So they had supposedly reached an agreement with the supermarket, but then day before yesterday, activists and community groups who have been talking to the supermarket said they are disappointed that officials gave no indication the company is committed to change, meaning to unionize. And so they said, we are not going away. We call on other community members to join us. That's they gave to the Capitol Hill blog. And this is how business is done in Seattle. The far left groups and labor unions control all of government around here. And then they use other groups that, you know, are the proper liberal buzz phrases. They hijack them to get their way. It's really amazing. It's business as usual in our so progressive city. And that is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Okay, I got some other big lead stories. So I'm going to continue the big lead into the next segment, including, have you heard what Amazon did when it comes to insider trading? But it was all legal. Details coming up next on the Dory Monson Show. I'm serious. What has happened to Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook?
He's been under fire a lot recently.
I'm not talking about that. I couldn't care less about any of that. That doesn't interest me. He looks like he just came out of Madame Tussauds.
I know. He does have a kind of a waxy look to him for sure.
He's doing an interview.
Pretty young, you know.
He's doing an interview on CNN. He's so pasty. He doesn't have even the barest hint of the tiniest wrinkle. I'm serious. Has he gotten a facelift? Does he get Botox? He's got all this eye makeup on.
His eyes are bloodshot, though.
It's weird.
Red.
Yeah. And then on the next screen, he's on CNN. And then on the next screen is Shepard Smith, who's smooth as a billiard ball with his facial skin, too.
Okay, I was just Googling just to see if he has had work done. And, of course, like all this stuff comes up and people have speculated on Twitter. Someone said he looks like he got Botox to freeze himself into an expressionless gargoyle to stop from grimacing every time someone asks him about the business model of Facebook.
Yeah, there's something really odd. I know he's young.
Their moisturizers.
That's not a good look. You got that much money, you should be able to have somebody who can get you. I'm one to talk, but I don't have that much money. I can't.
We are being very, very shallow.
I can't
and
fix
we do
everything
realize
that's wrong with me. No, that's weird. Everybody's going to be talking about that. That is just a weird look for Zuckerberg there. Okay. I have to continue with our big lead because I spent so much time on that opening topic. So next up in the big lead.
The big lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
So, Ursula, if somebody in the highest level of Amazon financials, like let's say their CFO.
Okay.
He knows what's happening with the books. He knows what the earnings report is going to be. He knows what that earnings report will do to the stock price a week from now. So he buys or sells, you know.
I thought that was illegal.
Hundreds of thousands of shares of stock to profit on that.
I believe that's illegal.
It's known as insider trading,
exactly.
Correct? And the feds would swoop in and put that person in prison.
Right, exactly.
Did you know that Amazon workers, before the announcement came down about HQ2 going into suburban D.C. and Queens, New York City, A bunch of Amazon employees, according to the Wall Street Journal, bought condos in a new development just days before the HQ2 announcement came out. And
they were people who had inside knowledge?
Well, they were Amazon employees. And the according to real estate attorneys, there's nothing illegal about profiting on insider knowledge in a real estate transaction. You cannot do it on a stock transaction, but a real estate transaction that is legal. So it may be legal, but think about this. Whoever they bought that condo from, mm-hmm. whether it was the developer or a previous owner, that is using your insider knowledge because those people sold in good faith, not knowing the announcement was coming down. And those people may have lost, who knows, hundreds of thousands of dollars each based right. on the Amazon employees taking advantage of insider knowledge of where HQ2 was going to be placed.
Now, did the same thing happen in Crystal City, Virginia?
The Wall Street Journal says they don't have any reliable figures on that, but the one they had was this one in Queens because they generally sell about, they talked to some brokers in one local brokerage firm that reported they sell usually about two condos a day. That since the Amazon announcement, they have been selling about 30 condos.
Okay, since the announcement, I understand yes. that part, but was this before the announcement that they...
At least three Amazon employees bought homes in Long Island City and signed contract before the announcement was made.
Hmm.
Now, could that be a coincidence? I suppose. But again, the two employees decided to buy units just before the first press report surfaced.
And they're not planning to live there. They're planning to...
Don't know. They don't say that. Mm-hmm. They don't know. But again, they talked to real estate attorneys. Now, I will tell you, the exact same thing has been happening here in the Puget Sound area with Sound Transit. And I've been talking about this for 20 years now. That I had very good insider sources that told me that long before Sound Transit announced where they were going to put their light rail line, that they were tipping off big real estate developers and saying, yeah, we're going to run this line right up there. These developers were snapping up real estate and basically stealing money from the sellers. Because they had information, the sellers did not. If the sellers knew that their real estate was going to explode in value once the Sound Transit announcement came out, they could have shared in that profit. They could have, you know, gained from it. But instead, and man, I think I broke this story about 18 years ago because I had a source that gave me great information about this. Instead, insiders who were connected to this incredibly sleazy agency that is Sound Transit, and who knows what kind of kickbacks go to public officials who, you know, get these insider tips and can legally, by manipulating the real estate market, profit off of it. So it's happening right now in New York City with Amazon. It's been happening here for the last 20 plus years, thanks to Sound Transit. And it's yet another way that average people, property owners, homeowners, that they get screwed because of this collusion between government and developers and insider knowledge that is designed not to improve transportation or traffic flow or anything, but it's created to try to enrich a very tiny select number of people who, and by the way, taking down the viaduct. Why'd they go for the most expensive option? Why did they, instead of a cut and cover tunnel, instead of shoring up the viaduct? Because there were downtown property owners who were going to profit to the tune of billions of dollars collectively by having a view suddenly appear. And you don't think that the government officials who were involved in all of that decision making, you don't think their nests were feathered by this whole process? So much of our local government is designed to just figure out how to most efficiently, effectively screw the public out of dollars so that a tiny number of people can be enriched by it. And I would suggest this Amazon real estate thing in New York City is an example. Sound Transit is a clear example. The Viaduct is a recent example. It's not about beautifying. It's not about traffic flow. It's not about making the region better. It's about a small number of people who have figured out an incredibly legal and efficient way to become unfathomably rich by screwing us with their insider knowledge. I got a lot more to do. I got a lot of news I'm breaking here today. So let me take a quick time out. We'll get some more news, including how Sound Transit is ripping off people across the nation today. That and lots more straight ahead as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. To get your comments on everything we are talking about today. 98973, that is the Online Trading Academy text line, 98973. A bunch of people are writing in on the Amazon real estate insider transactions. So, is Dory a socialist now? It's called capitalism, Dory. Dory, you sound like you're supporting nannyism. Knowledge is power. Even insider trading is a government overreach. You're free to believe that. But here's the problem. I am all for a free market that doesn't unfairly screw people out of, you know, what's rightfully theirs. And, you know, in the Sound Transit case in particular, when they are telling developers, we are going to run a line on this exact route. And the developers, because they have, and you know how government works, developers give big donations to government officials, to their campaigns, and then it ensures that the government officials, they tip off the developers can make, you know, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars, based on buying information from government officials. And if you think me being against that makes me a socialist somehow, if you think that makes me an anti-capitalist because government conspires. Now, Amazon, the Amazon real estate thing, that's a private entity and there are no laws against it. And I said that. But when you move over to Sound Transit, when it's government that is manipulating the market to screw people out of money, because I mean, let's take the woman who the line is running right up to Northgate. The woman who lives two blocks from Northgate, 70 years old, had owned her home for a long time. Somebody comes and offers her $10,000 over market value, and then a month later, Sound Transit announces that they're going to run the line right next to this woman's house. They're going to build a big station at Northgate. And all of a sudden, the value of her house goes up $100,000. That's a sleazy government official stealing $80,000 or the $100,000, $100,000 over what she sold it for, from a well-intentioned private person because a developer knew which government officials to buy off. And Sound Transit has been about this, you know, from the get-go. You know, like I said, why do you think their CEO was going to host the fundraiser for the King County executive? You think the King County executive is looking out for the taxpayers, looking out for the little guy, looking out for the people? If the Sound Transit CEO, who just got a massive raise, despite the fact that they had to hire a private coach so he'd know how to comport himself in the workplace, the guy who has overseen tens of billions of dollars in overruns by Sound Transit, you think that Dow Constantine is going to look out for the taxpayers, or is he going to look out for the guy who wanted to until they found out it was a breach of ethics rules? Think he's going to look out for the Sound Transit CEO? who, again, just got a massive raise despite his inability to manage budgets and to comport himself with any kind of respectability in the workplace. So, you know, those of you who are saying, well, you sounded like a socialist here. I don't care what I sound like. I will always, always, always use this show to be a watchdog of government. And if government officials and if a government agency are, as individuals and is, structured to screw people out of money, I don't care what I sound like when I blow the whistle on that. Because as I've told you a million times, I don't view the world, unlike, I guess, a lot of talk show hosts, I don't view the world through any political prism. I don't say, oh, free market, the libertarian attitude would be that you just have to let this unfold. I don't look at things that way. I look at stories, I gather facts, I give you my opinion. And I know for a fact that developers have colluded with Sound Transit to screw people around here out of tens of millions or hundreds of millions of dollars because of who bought off who. And I'm not okay with it. And then, you know, they just got a $1.2 billion grant to go out to Linwood. Here's their CEO, Peter Rogoff.
And we were quite anxious, especially as budget proposals would come forward from the administration to terminate this funding pipeline. But that was largely rejected by Congress, and not just Democrats in Congress.
No, because he's figured out that if he can fleece the rest of America and not just the people in the Puget Sound area, maybe he can get another massive raise next year. So for those who are critical of me blowing the whistle on all of this stuff, tough. Go ahead, listen to the radio shows that just give government a pat on the back and a hearty well done on a daily basis. But I know it a lot better than that, and I am not going to try to delude you about it either. Fastest 15 is next.